Today, we're going to talk about two things, and then we're going to get out of here. We're going to go into worship. We're going to talk about the kingdom of peace, but we're going to talk about it from this perspective. We're going to talk about the perfect king and a perfect peace. Oh my goodness. Y'all don't get that. See, because a king rules, and you don't vote for a king. God didn't ask for our vote when it came to kings. God just rules. He is just the king. And today, Isaiah is going to tell us that there is a king coming that, first of all, in verses 1 through 5, we're going to see that he's going to be a perfect king. In other words, if we put it in today's vernacular, we would say that he is going to be the perfect president. He's going to have it going on. Because, I mean, after all, if you listen to Donald, Donald says he's going to do this, this, and this, and he didn't take into consideration, or he doesn't know that there's a Congress. So it sounds like, to me, he's trying to become king. But it's just me now. It's just me. Just me. This is not a political thing. But I want to show you how the world is, Sister Lou, because the world will have you believing that, man, if such and such person gets in there, the world is going to be in bad shape. Oh, things are going to come to an end. Well, they said that 8 years ago. And they said that 8 years prior to that. All these folk that were supposed to be so bad, so unqualified, we still here. You know why? Because Jesus ain't come back yet. And Isaiah comes out of the pages, dusty pages of history, to remind us, whenever you think that you're at your wit's end and that you're in control of something, remember one thing, God's got this. And if God's got it, God's got it. Let me tell you one thing. A few years ago, I told you about the flood. That's why I started the story about the flood. And we were going in there, and we were fixing up the building. And we were applying some paint or something to the walls. And Brother Eddie Garcia, y'all know Eddie. Jack of many trades, master of none, you know, Eddie came over to me. And I was laying the paint on. I was doing my thing. I had good rhythm. Terry, did I say I had good rhythm? Good rhythm. And Eddie said, D. Let me have that. I got this. Now, when Eddie said, I got this, I let him have this. Because on one thing, I'd seen the work that he had done, and I knew he could do this. All right. And he said, and he had always been a person. Matter of fact, one of my first assignments as a deacon, I had to go move a young lady and her newborn baby. They had to go. They didn't have no furniture, nowhere to stay. And Eddie Garcia was right there with me, you know, helping me. And we moved furniture and mattresses and stuff. And matter of fact, it shows you, my God's have supply. We had so much more. We said, what are we going to do with all of this? And she said, well, I got a friend who's worse off than me. So we blessed two folk. But Eddie was right there, and he said he had this. I didn't worry about this anymore. If I can have that much confidence in Eddie Garcia, trust me, I can have that much confidence in God Almighty. All right. Amen. Let's look at the person and the power of God, this perfect king. Verse 1, y'all can read it. He says that out of the stump of Jesse, a branch would come, a tender branch, out of the stump. See, God didn't have to pad his bio. God doesn't have to hide where he come from. Because first of all, he's self-existent. But he sent a son. You remember the Johannine scriptures? You remember what the Johannine scripture said, didn't you? It says, and the word became flesh. This flesh
was born on the backside of a barn in mere obscurity, abject penury. But yet, he was born. And he was born out of the stump of Jesse. Notice, he didn't come here talking about, King David is in my lineage. No, Isaiah said, from a little thing, from nothing, from a stump, should have been dead, that was cut off, is going to come your Messiah. Is going to come this king. And see, you know what? Isaiah, you know why Isaiah was good, Sister Tony? Because he was consistent. He says, a branch out of a stump in chapter 11. And then in chapter 53, he asked you, who's going to believe your report? And for to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? He shall grow up as a tender plant. See, he's consistent because he knew what he was talking about. He says, the very weak, fragile things of the world, that's where this mighty ruler, that's where the perfect king is coming from. See, most folk, and one of the things that we got over there, the very first one, was about the preacher who padded his bio in order to make him seem like something he wasn't. God doesn't have to pad his bio. God, and let me tell you one thing, you don't have to either. It's a shame if you got a pad, you got to build yourself up because you're worried about where you are, where you come from. Let me tell you something. All of you come from dust, and dust you're going to return. And you know what? Let me tell you what. There are very few blue bloods in here. I know some of y'all had it going on, you know. I know some of y'all had those perfect parents, you know, mom and dad at home and all that, you know, a house and a car in the garage, you know, and, you know, working father and all that. But everybody didn't come with that. But it ain't matter. It's not a matter of where you've been. It's where you're going. It's where you are, where you're going. And Isaiah says, I stopped by to tell you, he's going to come up out of nothing. It ain't something. The package. If you're looking at packages, you can't get it. Let me tell you one thing. If you guys were coming here on Sunday morning for the package, y'all probably wouldn't even come. I know you wouldn't come. Matter of fact, Sister Sneed would have to show up every Sunday because it'd be me and her for the package. But let me tell you one thing. God is looking for the content. And so if he's looking for the content in you, he looks for the content in himself. As a matter of fact, he looks at himself to see if the same content is in you. Oh, y'all don't hear me. We're talking about the person of God. Isaiah knows who God is. And in verse 2, he says, and the Spirit. Oh, yeah, that means y'all read. Now, God said that he was going to come out of the stem of Jesse. And God says, whoever I call, wherever I call them from, your daddy could have been the biggest thug in the world. Your mama may not even know you. But guess what? When God calls you, if God calls you, God will equip you. And that's all of you. Because look at here. Here's the king. This is what makes him perfect. He's qualified. He didn't say he was qualified. God says he was qualified. You know how God said he was qualified? And the Spirit of the Lord anointed him. Ooh, wait a minute. That must mean I'm qualified because the Spirit of the Lord indwells me. The Spirit of the Lord indwells you. So you don't have any issues about your qualification. I think we have issues with our availability. Oh, somebody better help me. I'm going to leave y'all alone on evangelism today. But God is looking to see what kind of deposits he's made in you and what's the return on his investment. And he says, in the perfect king, I'm going to make him perfect because, first of all, I'm going to give him my spirit. And when I give him my spirit, let me show you his qualifications. Y'all look. He says, and he shall have the spirit of wisdom and understanding. In other words, he's going to be wise. He's going to be discerning. In other words, you can't pull nothing over on the God that he's going to send you. The king he's going to send you, you can't pull nothing over on him because he's wise and he's discerning. And you know what? I read this. Wait a minute. Wise and discerning. Those are qualifications there of the New King, sis. It's the same qualifications that you read in the gifts of the Spirit that every Christian gets. One, two, three of these. But in the perfect King, all of these dwell. Wise, he's understanding, and he has counsel and might. In other words, he knows how to formulate the right plans, and he has the power to execute them. See, some folk, the folk that you hear yakking during this political season, they might have a plan. It ain't the right plan. Matter of fact, it's the same old stuff, repackaged. People, please be more discerning. They ain't nothing new under the sun. They just take stuff, wrap it up in a different candy wrapper and say, here. He says he has counsel and might. That means he has the right plan and he has the ability to do it. I charge the rock and I'll charge you guys. Go look in your Bibles, okay, from Genesis to Revelation. I want you to look at all your Bibles. And you tell me if any time did you ever see Jesus ask for anybody's advice? Not recorded. Trace, I look for it. I really look for that. You know why? Because God has already given it. You don't ask for that which has already been given. He gives the advice. And he can back up whatever advice he gives. But not only that, he has the spirit of knowledge. That means he knows things, y'all. As a matter of fact, according to scripture, he knows everything. You get a politician that knew everything, had the right counsel, had wisdom, had understanding, man, you'd have a perfect politician. But I looked the whole world over, couldn't find nobody. That's what y'all used to say. The whole world over, you won't find nobody. But here it is in the person of Jesus Christ. He says that he, because that's who he's talking about, 700 years before he's even born. He's talking about him ruling as a king. But the thing that last qualification really got me, he says, that he wanted to give him knowledge and fear of the Lord. Now, according to Proverbs, the beginning of wisdom is fear of God. The reason why you won't have any perfect politicians, the reason why they will come and lie to you in this season, is because they are not persons, and many of them do not fear God. And folk who do not have a healthy fear of God, you'll be worried about their qualifications. No, I'm worried about their relationship. And don't fool me now. Don't come up here swaying to my music. Anybody can dance to music. Oh, anybody can say, you know, let's get back to our spiritual root. Your spiritual root ain't the same spiritual root as mine, maybe. And God has given me a spirit of discernment to know that the thistles will grow up with the roses. But the fear of God, the king, the perfect king, will reverence God. God Almighty. That's awesome. The perfect king, the perfect leader, the perfect ruler will have a fear of God. That's one of his qualifications. That's amazing. Maybe we should look for that in folk. Verse 3 says what? And shall make him quick understanding. God will never be like us. His ways are not our ways. We look for packages. We judge on what we see and what we hear. If it looks good and sounds good, it must be right for us. God is going to judge in that day the same way he judges you now. Because the word of God says he looks at the heart. He looks at the inside. He peels back the cover to see what's on the inside. You can't do that, but you can have discernment, because discernment, that's exactly what it does. It says that is not of God. And if it's not of God, it needs to be jettisoned. Because anytime you subject yourself to imperfect people, you will have imperfect rule. Uh-oh. They don't like me, Fred. Okay, do I need to take off my coat? Because I'm going to tell you, as long you can vote till the cows come home, and you're going to get the same old thing. You know why? Because you're dealing with imperfect people. So I hate to be the one to tell you, this fall, you're going to be voting for imperfection. So don't delude yourself. Hold your nose and press the button. Either way you go. Because until you have a healthy fear of God, that's what we need to be. But the folk that have a healthy fear of God, they'll run out of the campaign. Because you ain't going to be friendly with God and talk about ruling nothing. I'm going to say it again. You are not going to fear God and be ruling anything. You can say what you can do. You know, you go through the motion. But without a healthy relationship with God, you will not know how to rule God's people. Am I making myself clear here? And Isaiah, long before Jesus Christ came, said he's going to send one that will have all those qualifications. But what we do is we reject that which we should keep and keep that which we should reject. But God says, here's what he says. I got this thing. They may get away. They may fool you this season. But I got this thing. I'm in control. Now, if somebody is driving a car, you may not like how they're driving. But if they say, I got control, ride. Ride. Ride or get out. Those are your only two options. Ride or get out. I love telling this story, so I'm going to tell it now, even though I don't have enough time. My dear beloved sister-in-law, they were coming from Birmingham, and the people in the car said, ooh, I sure wish these people would dim their lights. And my sister-in-law, who's driving, she says, it don't bother me. You mean to tell me them bright lights don't bother? I said, no, because I close my eyes. Look, I got this. Now, you may not like it. You may not like it, but she's in control. And it's her car. This is God's world. He's in control. And God does not, remember one thing, his eyes may be closed, but he does not sleep nor slumber. That's how he can be in perfect control. He's got this thing. And he says, verse 4, read it for me. It's a very powerful scripture here. And reprove. In my studies of this particular verse this week, notice something I had not noticed. Two words in verse 4. Earth and wicked. And in the original language, they are synonyms. Well, I bought my degree, so, you know, yeah. But I did have fifth grade grammar, you know. Synonym, that means they mean the same thing. Earth and wicked. folk, the reason why you could rattle off all those stories that are in the news is because we live in a wicked place. And it looks like, because actually in the original translation, that wicked looks like the wicked one. You think the devil is in charge, but the devil ain't in charge of nothing. God is in charge. And in that day, he's going to show you, he's going to smite the wicked. He's going to smite the earth with his word. And you know what? That's what we need to do. That's what we are charged to do now. Smite the world. Smite the wicked with word. Not with your hands. With words. Not going out protesting somebody. With words. Because that's how God's going to do it. And God is a perfect example. Because he is the perfect ruler. Now, let me give you some context, because we're about to go into verse 6. But before we do that, verse 5 says, "And the righteousness shall be the girdle of the loins, and faithfulness of the girdle of his reins." Now, this very colorful language speaks to the people of that time. Now, for us, I'm going to have to contemporize it for y'all to get it. But before I contemporize it, let me just show you what he's talking about to them. Everybody was familiar with the fact that most folk wore a girdle, an exterior belt that went around the waist. But you know, an interesting fact, as I was studying this, some of those girdles were 3 feet wide. And they were put around the body to hold things up. Now let me contemporize that in the Baptist way for some of you ladies. You know, it was what is equivalent to the day's modern day Spanx. So it says that God's equity, God's justice, God's righteousness will be held up with a Spanx. So that won't nothing move. So that it will always be, because y'all know what I'm talking about. Somebody, yeah, you can say, I'll say amen, it don't matter. You know, but he says, with righteousness, we ought to have the girdle of righteousness and faithfulness, because that's how God is going to rule. And if you find folk in ministry, in church, on your pew, whatever, that don't have a girdle of righteousness. Now we're not talking about your righteousness. We're talking about God's righteousness. See, because the scripture is clear. They, being ignorant of God's righteousness, went about to establish their own righteousness. And I got in 102 instructors in here. It says they have gone about to establish their own righteousness. So the girdles that they hold up ain't holding up the right thing. But God says righteousness and faithfulness. In other words, it's going to be God's righteousness, and he's going to be consistent in that day. How he judges things. That's the person and the power of God. The God that we're going to look forward to. Now, let me tell you, for those of you who have not gotten it yet, Isaiah is talking about a period of time that till this day, Jesus has been gone 2,000 years. And to this day, it has not come to fruition. You see, because Isaiah is talking about the Christ who's coming back. You know, the one that went down, died, and then ascended and sits at the right hand of the Father. He's going to come back. And Isaiah is talking about a period of time right after a period that we call the tribulation. That's when the church would have already gone to its judgment seat. I'm talking about the Bema seat now. I ain't talking about the great white throne, because those are 1,000 years apart. I'm just talking a little basic doctrine here. You know, this is kind of stuff that they teach. You remember, don't you? You know, because 1,000 years separate them. But Isaiah is seeing it 700 years before Jesus was born. That makes him a prophet. That makes him a prophet extraordinaire. I mean, double. Did you see what I see? Most folks said no. I ain't see that, Isaiah. But now we know. Because all the things that are happening, you know, when people, when you see this much wickedness in the world, you begin to think, oh, Lord, oh, time is sure winding up. You know how long they've been saying that? There's been fools in this world all their lives because they don't know God. That makes them a fool. That makes them a fool. And fools do foolish things. Fools will have a small child raped. Fools will go into a police station and shoot up. Nobody but a fool will take a gun with all these cops with guns. But God's got this thing. God's got it. God is sovereign and in control. And I don't care what the newspaper say, because ladies and gentlemen, you will go crazy listening to the news. Because it's all bad. Because we live in the earth, which is synonymous with wickedness.
Yeah.
What do wicked people do? Wicked things. But just because they do wicked things don't mean that they are in charge, Sister Betty. God is in charge. And God wants us to remind us, he says, look, the foolishness will always be among you. But can you look to me? Can you look to the hills from which cometh my help?
Yeah.
Because because I guarantee you one thing. That's how you're going to get by today. But God is talking about a time where this perfect ruler is going to come. Matter of fact, they say it sounds like this. And he shall return. And the devil and his cohorts will be cast into a lake of fire. And there they will be contained for 1,000 years. And the King of Glory will sit on the throne in Jerusalem, and he shall rule 1,000 years. The perfect ruler. As qualified as he is, got my vote. He's qualified. He's really qualified. He's saying he's qualified. He is qualified. Because all the folk that they're going to parade before you from now until you leave this earth are going to be saying that they're qualified. Look how many folk have said that they are qualified. Is your life any different? And the silence is deafening. They qualify. But unless Jesus is your king, unless God is your ruler, you're just dealing in imperfection.
Yeah.
And you'll keep on dealing with imperfection. But here's Isaiah says, there's hope. Because after the tribulation period, and it's going to be tough, 7 years, 3.5 years is going to be pretty good. Pretty good. But I don't think how anything can be pretty good where God is not involved. But God is even involved in the tribulation. Because we know for a fact there are going to be at least 144,000 that get saved during the tribulation. Y'all can't mess with me. This is, look, here's evangelism time. Y'all better come on to basic doctrine. If this sounds foreign, y'all come on to basic doctrine. Okay? So for this 7 years, bleak. But then, there's going to be this big battle of Armageddon. And the devil's going to be cast into a lake of fire. The king's going to sit down. The perfect king is going to sit down. Now, look at verse 6. When the perfect ruler is on the throne, this is what can happen.
Yep, yep.
Wait a minute. Hey, y'all don't get this. Nah, I'll talk to you, Terry. Tracy. They don't get it. When the perfect king is on the throne, there can be nothing but perfect peace. Because if wicked people do wicked things, perfect people do perfect things. Listen to this. What Isaiah is reemphasizing here is that the king who is ruling, who is sitting on the throne, is also the creator. See, the reason why people, Keith, they can tell you any kind of lie during the campaign season and all kind of stuff. You are not theirs. And they know it. And people only protect that which is theirs. Didn't take a genius to figure this out. Just the old boy from North Carolina. People protect theirs. Here's what the perfect king says. I'm going to sit down on the throne. I made you. I made everything. So the world in which I rule is perfect because I'm perfect. You say, well, God is perfect now in the fullness of time, when the time is right. When you can raise all the hell you want to, God's going to stop it one day. And that's what we got to, you know, there are people out there mocking God and worried about, you know, people are doing this and all that. Let me tell you one thing. God is in control. God's got this. You can do whatever you want to, but one day, the chickens are going to come home to roost. One day, when the time is right, God's going to sit on the throne, and here's what. When God is fully on the throne, the physical throne, what it tells you in verse 6 is that something wonderful is going to happen. I'll let y'all read. You read 6 and 7 for me. The wolf and the leopard. And the calf, a little child, and the see, y'all were trying to figure out, how did he get creator out of this? How did he get creator out of this? When the king is on the throne, the whole world will be in harmony. Because we found out last week, God is love. And when there is love, there's harmony. And when the perfect king is on his perfect throne, there can be nothing but harmony. You say, harmony? Well, let me look. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb. A wolf and a lamb living in the same place? That's sure enough harmony. That only happens on Disney movies. The wolf and the lamb. Let me tell you what wolves do. Wolves eat lambs. Let me tell you what lambs do. They run from wolves. And the leopard shall lay down with the goat. Leopards and goats, mules and wheels gonna lay down together? Leopards eat goats. And goats run from leopards. They don't get far, but they run. Because there's enmity. They are natural enemies. But when the perfect king is on the throne, all that enmity goes away. There's nothing but love. Lions be walking up to the lambs. I love you. I love you, lambs. I sure love you too. I love that you ain't chasing me. We ain't got to run no more. In that gray, good enough morning, farewell, no more running, no more crying. It's just peace. Can't we all just get along? Oh, man, we are. We're just getting along. Because the king, the perfect king, is on the throne. And let me tell you something, folks, for us now, you can have that peace that transcends all understanding. You know how? First of all, get Jesus as your Savior. Because the Word of God is clear. As long as you don't know Christ, you're an enemy of God. Let that soak in for a minute. But those same enemies, just like you were an enemy of God, guess what? When you yielded yourself to God, you and God lay down together now. You have been transformed by the renewing of your mind. You don't even think like you used to think. You know why? Because your hands, your life is totally yielded to Christ. You have a new mind. That lamb ain't afraid of that wolf no more. Sees him as a friend. Oh, but that didn't get you. And the cow and the bear shall feed. Their young ones shall lie down to bed. Cows and bears. Things that don't normally hang around together. But the next one that lets me really know the creator's involved, the lion shall eat straw with the ox. Now let me tell you one thing. Only God can make a lion and a wolf become vegetarians, become vegans. It's the creator is involved in this. But the lion, instead of snacking on oxtails and lamb chops, he's going to be eating straw. His taste buds have been changed. And you know what? That's what will happen to us too. When you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, your taste buds ought to change. All that Skull, all that Johnny Walker, all that Tanqueray, all that Jim Beam, Black Crow, Black Label, all that should be dissipating. I heard somebody over here say, pull up, Russ Need. Don't get to pull up. But when the perfect king is on the throne, that's enmity. There's no enmity. There's love. There's kindness. Your lifestyle changes. And in that day, it'll be that way. There ain't going to be no murderer. You don't have to pick up the paper and say some kid has been snatched. Saw where Joe Pag's daughter, I don't know if you guys know him, was missing. Some 29-year-old got her, taken her to the, made it almost to the border. Let me tell you one thing, folks. This is a crazy world. Let me tell you, the wolves are devouring the lambs. The lions are eating lamb chops on a regular basis. But God's got this. Because God knows in the end, he's going to bring about perfect peace because he's a perfect king. And a perfect king produces perfect rule. Now, read this verse. And I'm going to leave you with something. And the suckling child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the winged child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den. Get that picture. Let me tell you, I'm looking for that day. I'm looking for that day. Because let me tell you, when I see snakes now, I run, even if they're on TV. I'm scared of them. They are deadly. Okay? But they're telling me that your babies are going to sit down and play with them in their cribs. Won't even be afraid. That's perfect peace, folk. Your children no longer will have to fear anything. If they don't have to fear a snake and a lion and a bear, they won't have to fear anything because of the love of God will rule. Somebody better reverberate that in their minds because it's coming back at you as soon as I read this. They shall not hurt nor destroy in my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Y'all think y'all know something now. You think you know, well, in the old days they thought this. And you know, we don't think like that. And we have a better knowledge. Y'all don't even know. The knowledge that he's talking about there is real knowledge. A real, not just recognition, but a real grasp of who God is. And because you know who God is, you know what he likes and doesn't like. What he tolerates and will not tolerate. In that day, knowledge will be so plentiful, it will be as plentiful as the water covers the nation right now, the world right now. God is in control. And in that day, in the millennial period, as he rules for 1,000 years, it gives you a glimpse of eternity. You have got to get this, because if you don't practice, you can't play. Brother Sneed, tell me what you mean. Well, God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet his enemies, Christ died for us. And then Christ says it was an act of love. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to love one another. Now, we thought, oh, all we got to do is love somebody. I'll share with you what I shared with Rock. Y'all know how I am about movies and music. Went to see a movie. Yes, I went to see the movie. As I shared this at the Rock, Deacon Newsom was there, and he looked at me, and he's, I pray for you, son. Because he know it was a sacrifice. As a matter of fact, I think Reverend Brown should have called me up and says, you don't have to tithe the day because you've already given your sacrifice. I went to a movie. Romantic drama. But there was a line in that movie that shook me to the core. Oh, it gave me, I told you, I'm going to get something. When I go spend my time somewhere, I better get something for some Sunday school lesson. Here's what it was, Sister Lake. It was a young man. He was going through an issue. And he said this. You only have to forgive once. You have to hate every day. See, when you know God, you can forgive. And therefore, there can't be anything but peace. I'm not mad with you no more. But if I'm still hating, I got to hate you every day. Yeah. Here's my dilemma, Brother Plenty, as we run on, because they ready to go now. They said, Brother Sneed, I'm put up with you long enough. But check this. In that day, here's what it is. It is because love is on the throne. Because love is on the throne, there's no room for enmity. So, what can I take from that? If God is on the throne of my heart, and God is on the throne of your heart, how can there be enmity? Why can't you and I get along? I would suggest to you that you had God on your throne, but you evicted him every now and then. And that's how you can get to where you are with me. But in that day, the perfect king through Isaiah is painting a picture of how it's going to be where there's nothing but love. Nothing but love. And where there's love, there is peace. No love. See you guys next week.